Yeah, that's a great question. So that's what we're talking about is transparency is really important, right? So one thing that we did at CISA and my branch did, I actually maintained it, the repository. We had a GitHub repository that we put out. GitHub is open source. We wanted it to be free and available. We didn't want anybody to jump through any hoops or do any gymnastics to be able to see, hey, am I affected by this or not affected by this, right? So the Netherlands also had a public repository as well. We partnered with them and shared data. And so we had that GitHub repository that had a list of all affected software products. We also included products because this is just as important. Are you not affected? Because just because you had Log4j doesn't necessarily mean that you were affected. There's a lot of nuances in that. I can talk a little bit more about that. And I actually probably will talk a little bit more about that later. But how do we help is steering ourselves towards transparency, steering ourselves towards something like software bill of materials, which is essentially a dependency tree of this is what's in my software. This depends on this. This depends on that. Does something depend on Log4j? Yes. Does something depend on something that isn't called Log4j, but it might have Log4j in it? Probably. So being able to get ourselves towards in that direction, that's what ultimately SBOM, supply chain security, the stuff that we're doing at CISA, that's what we're trying to do. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So going back to what Log4j kind of shed light on is that many people all of a sudden were like, hey, we need to find out where this is on our software. And I kind of talked about, like, ideally it'd be a straightforward process, but most of the case, it's not going to be. And we found out it isn't. and so, and that could be for different reasons, but we really want to steer organizations to greater visibility in their own supply chain, right? For their servers, for operational technology, that's critical infrastructure. All the fun software that organizations have custom made for themselves, right? And or I'm sure all of you know about M&A work, right? That can be really challenging when you're talking about understanding what's the software that we just acquired. And so it's very hard to know that and very hard to address that. And like I kind of just brought up with your question is just as important as understanding and what SBOM helps you know. This is what's in my software. The other important part of it is like, okay, if this vulnerable product's in my software, am I actually still affected by it? Do I have to devote resources to actually addressing it? Or can I just leave it be? Because that's where we start getting into complicated areas and probably answers a little bit of the question of why haven't we done this yet? Because it seems like a pretty, you know, why hadn't we done this? We expect it of our food to have that ingredients list, why wouldn't we expect the same thing of our software, right? And now we're kind of getting into the area of like, because it's a hard problem to solve, it's a complex problem to solve. Just as important as it is for us, if we are purchasing software, the federal government, US government, we purchase a whole lot of software. Those who are producing software, especially because Executive Order 14028 is making them, they need to know what's in their software that they are producing and making. You would think that they would know this? Nope, not always. And so they need to know what it is that they are shipping as well. So an important thing to remember, this actually what you see on the right, if you want to read it. I'm not going to read it out loud, but this is the official U.S. government definition of SBOM that's found in the Executive Order 14028. But what's important to realize is when we're talking about supply chain security and how SBOM will help us, it's going to help all of us, no matter where you fall in that supply chain. Many of us fall in, I would say, the middle. That's what we often say in the community, is all of us are in the supply chain somewhere. It's just most of us are in the middle somewhere. But there's a lot of different considerations in how SBOM can help wherever you fall. Let's say that you're a producer of software, you're making software, right? One thing that you want to be able to do, and it also could give you a competitive advantage if you're able to do it, we believe, is to make an attestation that, hey, we have a secure development process. Well, if you're going to say that but you don't know what's in your software. Do you really have a secure software development process? Probably not. So SBOM will be beneficial for producers of software in helping them know, hey, this is what's in our software. We're going to give you the SBOM that tells you what's in our software. This is helping us make secure products for you. We think you should buy from us rather than that other guy that doesn't do that, right? And also, if you follow any of the guidance that's been put out by NIST, which, if you don't know, stands for the National Institute of Standards and Technology, they put a lot of documents out. Specifically, there was a publication, special publication, SP 800-218, which is the Secure Software Development Framework. It explicitly calls out SBOM as something that they encourage. Hey, provide an SBOM when you're making attestations about your secure software development process.